The Bloomington City Council is biting the bullet on a costly renovation project at Grossinger Motors Arena. GLT's Ryan Denham is in studio to cover that and more with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after the regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Ryan.
Alderman last night reluctantly agreed to spend $600,000 to install a new elevator at the city-owned arena. That'll bring the city into compliance with the with federal disability law. But it was kind of a lengthy discussion, a lot of reluctance about it. Three aldermen actually voted against it. Why was this such a difficult pill to swallow, do you think?
Well, I think it's a very difficult pill to swallow because of the fact that you're dealing with the Coliseum to begin with, which is radioactive, and it's losing operating money, as well as, of course, the mortgage payment on it. And it has been a lightning rod for quite a period of time. It was also very badly designed, very badly executed. It represents the worst of a good old boy network, frankly, when it was constructed. And the kind of contract that it was given to run it, it's just been a mess. Now, we're cleaning up that mess. This is unfortunately one of the things. It was a design flaw. This is not somebody's, this is not an engineering, it is an engineering kind of issue. And this should never have been allowed to have been built the way that it was. But we're in a situation now where we can hardly go back on anybody else. You're really stuck. And so we had a $600,000 expenditure. We assumed it would be closer to around $400,000. There were ways that the staff had figured to pay for this. And so naturally, there are going to be questions about why this is the case. Some council members asked, kind of armchair quarterbacking, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And there were very good reasons why you didn't try any other way to around this that was less expensive. Staff has been vetting this for quite a while.
And when you say go back on this, you mean going back to contractors who worked on the original design work?
Kind of thing? Yes, correct. That is, it would cost us more money in legal fees than it would be worth for us to get whatever money we might get, and probably not, out of the contractors who developed this back in around 2004, 2005, because the arena opened in 2006. And hopefully this is the last big mess. And we've had HVAC issues. We've had other kinds of access issues with the Coliseum. And obviously contractual issues. We had a previous management company steal from us. I mean, this has just been one mess. And it could have been, even if you built the Coliseum, this could have been handled by proper contracts and proper engineering way back in 2004, 2005, 2006, but it wasn't. Now, again, you could go off on this and say, poor me. Bottom line is, you got to make a decision. And I don't think last night's conversation, well, I understand that there needed to be some questions asked. I don't think the 5-3 vote was very productive. And those are the kinds of votes that are going to make it impossible for us to get a AAA bond rating.
Yeah, explain that.
Because bond rating agencies, Moody's and Standard & Poor's and whatever, have access to this thing called Google. And they're going to watch us. It's not just our financials. Our financials are actually in very good shape. We are well above what we need to be in terms of our reserves. We have gotten an award for our police fire pension funding. We've got challenges ahead, but we run a tight ship in terms of our books. We're very fiscally responsible, very fiscally conservative, and we're delivering the same services that we did 10 years ago in the city of Bloomington with 150 fewer employees, and we're delivering it to more people. So there are a lot of good things, but when the council has a situation where you have to pay the bill, if you don't approve this, if that failed last night, if it was 4-4, I would have broke the tie in favor of it, of course. That should have been a no-brainer. You hate it. You don't want to do it. But you got to do it. Because otherwise, the Attorney General is going to come on you. You are going to have more bond ratings and greater attention to your city that is bad press. Who is going to trust you to invest in your community in terms of other firms or whatever? You really harm with bad publicity your community, and especially something like that. You've got to do it. You hate it, but you bite the bullet, you pay for it, and you move on.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, I'd like to get your take on last week's joint meeting with Normal's Town Council and the Convention and Visitors Bureau Board on the proposed sports complex. This consultant you hired to study the feasibility came back saying, you know, yes, it could work. Here is suggested building a $43 million indoor-outdoor complex with 16 fields, a dome over some of the fields. Do you want to proceed with exploring this idea any further?
Well, it depends upon you what you mean by proceed. Let me just back up. First of all, I'm glad we had a joint meeting with Normal. I think we need more of those on possible situations. Now, more specifically to the sports complex. The sports complex obviously came with sticker shock, but there are a lot of people who wanted it. The Bloomington Normal Convention Visitors Bureau kicked in some money. The town of Normal kicked in some money for the study. The city of Bloomington did. And it helped lay out what the costs are long term, and it's not through rose-colored glasses. Those are not numbers that seem, oh, we can almost afford that, right? We can nowhere near afford that. Right. Neither the mortgage payment nor the operating loss, the communities cannot afford it. So what that means is that puts a burden on the private sector and others. I mean, the Bloomington Normal Convention Visitors Bureau can kick in some money. Others can kick in some money. But and the governmental bodies can lead it. But the bulk of this money is going to have to come from the private sector if it's going to be built, because we just don't have the cash to do that. We've got to deliver services, and our sales taxes are flat. We don't know what the story is in Springfield. You certainly don't wait for the federal government to bail you out or to give you any money for anything. We're in an era of fend for yourself federalism. So in that environment, it helped tell us what the economic benefits would be to the community. That's very helpful. From what I can tell, and I haven't dug into it in real detail, but the methodology was very good. These are the benefits that we would get. These are the benefits to the economy outside of the operations of the establishment. These are the benefits we get from the establishment. And those don't come anywhere near covering the expenses. And so where is that money going to come from? Now, I think we can begin to have some conversations with the private sector about where that money might come from. But we're not going to get this. We're not closing this financial loophole with naming rights. This has got to be something very substantial. So that doesn't mean I wouldn't consider talking about it, but let's just, we have to face facts. And the facts were real clear. There is a massive gap between what we can afford and what it is. I mean, you know, not to use liquor metaphors, but, you know, we can't even afford Bud Light, and we're talking about Dom Perignon. So there is a massive difference in terms of our ability and what was proposed.
Well, what could a more limited version of city involvement look like? I mean, not putting up a lot of money, but maybe approving some sort of special tax or fee or some incentive that doesn't involve giving away existing money? I mean, what could that more limited...
You mean for that project or for a different type of project?
For that project specifically.
And it could be. It could be the land. And then, and that's, and especially if it's land that we already have or we own or we can get at a minimal price, that can bring that price down considerably. You can always cut costs. Now, you can't take a $43 million project and make it $25 million, but there are always things that you can do. But at this point, we're nowhere near that. So if we have someone who's willing to come forward, or we've got some groups that are willing to help us raise money, and that if you can close that gap, if we're within striking distance, I think then we strike. But we are nowhere, and we don't even have a proposal yet, really. You know, we got an idea. Hmm. So, you know, the Pantograph did have an article about a referendum. I think we should, you know, before we would move forward with it, we would need a referendum. But we can't go and have a referendum. We don't even have a proposal to show to the voters yet. There's nothing to unveil.
The city's got a bunch of ideas that have been kind of floating around in different ways for how to spend a lot of money, right? You could work on the O'Neill Park pool project. You could work on a library expansion. There's a lot of kind of big ticket items that have been sort of in the ether in the last year or two. Where would something like this fit on a priority list of big capital projects in your own mind?
Below every single one that you've just mentioned, and because the ones that you've just mentioned, I think are all needs. I think we do need to do something about soccer and even cricket in our community. And actually, the cricket community is something that we really need to, you know, to tap into much more effectively than we have. We now do have a cricket field in Bloomington, but that's a whole, you know, different story. We need to do something about the library. The library is exploding. We have over 1,000 people a day who go to the library, right? We have to do something about O'Neill Pool. This is it, all right? We've got to do something there. So these are capital items that we have to do, and they're more immediate. Now, we can probably figure out a way to get by on soccer, even once we are kicked off the fields, you know, underneath the runway of the airport. But they are not ideal, but we can probably get by until we find something that is at least acceptable. I think that mid-range is going to happen before you see a $43 million dome in our community.
Do you sense a reluctance to take big swings in Bloomington these days?
Oh, my God, of course.
I you know, the Coliseum experience kind of hovers over all of this. It seems like it's from the outside looking in, right, a sort of a reluctance to take big swings in light of what happened with the Coliseum. Do you think that's trickling into this conversation?
Oh, it trickles into everything. I think there is an inferiority complex in Bloomington that we need to shatter. If we're really going to achieve our potential like you've seen in Uptown Normal, we got to stop that inferiority complex. I'd even take a small swing. Small swings are hard to take, much less big swings. So, and I mean, you know, there are some from in the community, but mainly the council needs to understand we need to move forward, and we need to move forward boldly, because you can't tax your way out of a problem, and you can't cut your way out of a problem. We have already cut about as much as you can. Doesn't mean there's not something else you can't save. But if you're down 150 employees from where you were a decade ago, and you have more people and you're delivering the same services, there's not a whole lot left to cut. And you can't tax your way out of it. You've got to grow the local economy. That means underperforming areas. That means downtown. That means the areas adjacent to downtown. That means Eastland Mall. If we, you know, we can get them to back to the table to work with us. Those are the ways that we move forward. And we've got to be bold. We can't study our navel 20 times before we act. We have to move forward. And if we don't, we are not doing our community a service.
Your new city manager, Tim Gleason, his first day on the job was yesterday, his first council meeting last night, at least sitting up there with everyone. What are your hopes for him in these first 100 days on the job?
Oh, I don't know that I'd just say that there are 100 days, but I think, you know, I'm certainly looking forward to working with him. Economic development, clearly, is where the bulk of our conversations are going to start. And what has been languishing, like the Electrolux site? Where is that RFP? Why is that not out there? What has to happen? If we have to contract it out, then let's contract it out. Let's get that out. When it comes to our downtown sites, why don't we have some of these out also with RFPs? Why aren't we moving as aggressively as we should? Now, we know in Eastland Mall, and I'll say, you know, with Eastland Mall, it's not as much on our end, it's on the other end.
You sort of refer to them as stepping away from the table, and you want to get them back to the table? What
by
do you
stepping
mean by
away, it's the first time that I got a chance to sit down and really dig deep with them was a year, a little over a year ago. So it would have been about 4 years into being mayor. They were always very nice to us, but until Macy's closed, that was the shock. And so they had some plans about how they needed to move it toward, in a sense, the College Hills Mall model. And I strongly urged them, the city manager at that time, I think the council members that were in my session, we all said, yes, you know, show us the whole thing. Don't even bother with phase 1, 2, 3. Let's just do it. This has to happen. It's a gateway to our community. It's critical. I'm afraid that, you know, we are seeing some movement, but I'm afraid that it tends to be more Band-Aid, and I'm worried about that. I'm happy to roll up my sleeves and do whatever is necessary to boldly, as you've said, you know, go forward and do what is necessary, you know, with Eastland Mall. We're not giving them any cash that we don't have, but if they're willing to put up some substantial amount of money to improve their building, can figure out incentives to rebate some of that back so they can put it back into the building.
Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular and special council meetings. Next week at this time, you'll hear from new Bloomington Mayor, City Manager Tim Gleason.